Bird Dog's khaki shorts are just like your mother. They'll wrap you up and keep you comfortable no matter where you are. Their zipper pockets will securely hold all your things. They'll fondle you with a love you thought only your mother was capable of. Oh, and don't worry. These shorts won't call you a disappointment. You might even start to love Bird Dogs just as much. If you want to experience motherly love again, hurry to birddogs.com/MLB and buy a pair. They're selling out quickly, but they'll throw in a free Bird Dogs tumbler if you get there on time. That's birddogs.com/MLB.
Life comes with a lot of decisions, and it can be hard to know the right path sometimes. A therapist can help you map out what you really want so you trust yourself to make great choices and feel excited about the future. BetterHelp offers convenient, professional online therapy on your schedule, however you want it, by phone, chat, or video call. Let therapy be your map with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/positive.
Jay, you have to tell me how to find USA Network on one of these TVs in my studio because live coverage of the Open Championship is now underway on USA.
I am on it.
USA! USA! I think I can reach the remote from where I am without messing up everything, falling away, falling out of my chair, moving away from the microphone. We're halfway through the show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Please, please, please find us on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or my Twitter, A Law Radio, if you would like to see my cat. That is not a real good incentive to go to my Twitter, but I'm just saying that's what's there right now. Also on our Facebook page and our show question of the night, based around all the attention Ohtani is getting and Messi in Miami, who is on track to make his debut this weekend, I believe. We've also got the Women's World Cup that is now underway down under. Two international sporting events that are live while we're on the air. I'm thinking about training camps getting underway in the NFL. So we're asking you right now, in mid-July 2023, the dog days of summer, which four athletes, whether male or female, belong on the Mount Rushmore of sports? If there were, in fact, a Mount Rushmore of sports. So you can see the GIF. It's kind of funny. When Jay told me he was looking for a GIF of Mount Rushmore, I was worried it was going to be something goofy like the four heads of the presidents moving. The GIF is up on our show Twitter, and I retweeted, and then also on our Facebook page. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. So you get Sugar and Mount Rushmore of sports all together in one fell trip to our social media. My thanks again to Matt Adams from Fairways of Life Radio and SiriusXM PGA Tour Radio. He's getting set to work the first round of the Open Championship. So it took a few minutes with us from the media center. But yeah, a bunch of guys already out there on the course. In fact, one Japanese golfer is already plus five. Through six holes, he's plus five. That's rough. The lowest score through the front nine, one of the earliest golfers out there, Matthew Jordan. He is minus two. And right now is alone atop the leaderboard. If you haven't heard of him, don't worry. No one else has either. Okay, not no one else. His family. His countrymen. Otherwise, we're talking about very early with the big dogs, the favorites to come. All right, so Rory McIlroy is not for another 4 hours, but this hour, in fact, mere moments from now, Jordan Spieth will be on the course. Brooks Koepka will follow him at the bottom of the hour. And we heard Matt talk about Tommy Fleetwood, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Adam Scott. Those guys are all going off before this hour is done, about 45 minutes from now. Cameron Smith, the defending champion, tees off just before the top of the next hour. And Ricky Fowler is just after 2 o'clock a.m. Pacific, 5 o'clock Eastern time. Bryson DeChambeau in that mix as well. There's a lot to, I think a lot, not only a lot of storylines, a lot to keep track of, but a lot of excitement as well. This is the final major of the year on the schedule before they get into the tour championship a little bit later on. And according to Matt, this whole PGA Live merger is not a major topic of conversation. Instead, it's all about the golf now. Can Rory McIlroy end a 9-year drought without a major win? What about Ricky Fowler? Can Ricky Fowler continue what has been a movement up the charts? Thinking about the Ryder Cup and some of the other implications for the Americans, well, and the Europeans too, depending upon how they do here at the Open. So a lot to look forward to. And then you've got the Women's World Cup starting too. Team USA, the two-time defending champion, playing later this week on Friday. We'll get to a QB news coming at this hour here on the show. And we'll get back to this Northwestern situation and what's happening around the athletes from multiple sports who are coming forward with allegations of a culture that was rampant with hazing, in some cases, criminal activity, underage drinking, of course, and then different sex acts and sexual assault that was allegedly forced on young men and women who were part of sports teams and were told that this was what they had to do to be part of the club. Nick Saban, all the rage at SEC Media Days, and true to Nick Saban, doesn't want to reveal too much. When he was asked about the Crimson Tide and getting back to the college football playoff, even as they prepared to expand it, he instead told a story about cake. I mean, we love food here on the show. We are all about it. So this is Nick Saban with a story that's near and dear to my heart.
Grandma Saban used to bake the best cakes in the world. And I used to stand by the oven when I was a kid and say, when's this cake going to be done? When's this cake going to be done? And she said, if I don't let it go through and take it out of the oven too soon, it's going to turn to mush, so it won't be a really good cake.
Favorite cake. Want to know your favorite cake since you mentioned that?
Yeah, well, carrot cake. That's easy.
Oh, no, not carrot cake. No, not carrot cake. I'm sorry, Nick Saban. You had me until carrot cake. You had me with grandma. You had me with cake. You had me with the baking process and allowing the cake to go through each of its steps before it becomes one that you can eat. You got to wait. You got to have patience. All of that. But not carrot cake.
Well, if you like chocolate cake.
What kind of cake, Jay? What's your favorite?
Funfetti cake.
Funfetti cake?
Although, you know what?
Didn't I just make you funfetti cupcakes before you left?
Yeah, those were delicious. And I mean, that in the cake form is great, too. But actually, I take that back. I'll go with a classic Carvel cake. Chocolate, vanilla, and the crunchies in the middle.
Carvel meaning ice cream cake.
Right. Tough to
all
beat
right.
That.
Guess what you missed while you were gone?
Uh-oh.
My first attempt ever at lemon blueberry muffins. They were made with buttermilk. They were cake-like consistency. So not cake, but kind of like cake. And I tried to save some for you, but unfortunately, I ended up giving them all away here at the office.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
It is. Don't worry. I still have some buttermilk. My gosh, I'm still trying to get rid of the buttermilk that Bob left in my fridge when he was here. He used it for a marinade for the venison that
Sounds
he grilled.
Good.
Yeah, it was really good. But I have a bunch of leftover buttermilk. And so I've been looking for recipes. And I really did like these lemon blueberry muffins. And if I'm going to be asking people to help me with my dog over the course of the next month or so with different activities I've got planned, including a trip to Houston late next week, I'm going to need to have some more baked goods. So, yes, I might go back to lemon blueberry muffins. They weren't actually that tough. I made them with my college roommate who was visiting me last weekend, and it wasn't terrible. I mean, it was a pretty thick batter. And so I got a little frustrated trying to get it out of the bowl and into the muffin holders, but the lemon blueberry muffins were a great payoff. And I do have some frozen blueberries still in my freezer that I could use.
I would try them. I mean, that's two times.
You would try them?
Back to back now. Muffins and cupcakes and muffins.
That's... Yeah, so Funfetti cupcakes and then the lemon blueberry muffins.
Interesting, because you hadn't, at least since I've known you, hadn't made anything like using the individual cupcake things. It was all the bars or cookies or...
I've turned over a new leaf.
Huh.
Well, and I'm trying to get rid of this buttermilk. So
well,
maybe I'll try some type of a bread. It's not the right time of the year for bread. I feel like lemon blueberry muffins / cupcakes are more appropriate for this time of the year.
Yeah, it's a good summer.
They did not have icing on them, but they were loaded with blueberries. I used extra blueberries. I suppose I could make them with, why not make, well, lemon chocolate chips sounds weird. I'd have to keep out the lemon.
It doesn't sound so bad.
You don't think so?
Lemon chocolate chip. I don't think I've heard that
before. No, not lemon. Let's not do lemon chocolate chip.
Maybe a little less lemon, a little more chocolate chip.
So just no lemon, just muffins maybe with chocolate chip. I could just do chocolate chip muffins.
Those always hit.
I could try it without the lemon or the blueberry and just sub chocolate chips.
Has anyone ever done a blueberry chocolate chip muffin, or is that unheard of?
That sounds weird, too.
Don't you think? A little bit.
I have once... I've had them a couple times, but once bought them myself. Chewy chocolate cashew kind bars. Have you ever seen those? Chewy cherry chocolate kind bars with some cashews. So they have cherry, chocolate, cashew. So that, I don't mind cherry and chocolate, but I'm not sure I've ever tried blueberry and chocolate.
I don't think that's been attempted in the baking world yet.
Ever? I bet someone has tried it before.
Maybe one person
even
once,
if it was accidentally.
Oh, the blueberries fell in the batch.
It did. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. So Nick Saban left us hungry. And he says Alabama is hungry after missing the playoff last year. We're always hungry, which is why we have popcorn. This time it's Jay. I'm usually the one who brings the popcorn, but Jay came through with some popcorn. It's only been in his bag for I don't know how long, but we finally popped it. How's yours? Would you like to try some?
It's great, yeah.
I can't try some while the mic is on because you never know when I might choke. That's the popcorn?
Doesn't make that good of a noise.
How does popcorn make noise?
Doesn't. I thought it might jingle a little bit more.
Jingle.
Rattle.
I'm not eating jingling popcorn. That's not happening. What was your favorite part of your trip to Chicago?
I gotta say, I thought, you know, Wrigley, I'd always wanted to be there. That was a bucket list item for me. But another bucket list item for me in Chicago was going to the top of the Willis Tower.
I know it as the Sears Tower.
Yeah, that's how I knew it too, always. And I remember a time in life where it was the tallest building in the country. So I'd always wanted to go up there. And also Ferris Bueller's Day Off, the scene where they're up there and they put their faces on the glass. I did that when I was up there. And they're actually, funny enough, they have a plaque. It's like, this is the exact spot where the iconic Ferris Bueller's Day Off scene was filmed. And I had no idea that was up there.
They allowed you to put your face on the glass?
Yeah.
So, ew. How many people have put their face on the glass?
I'm sure a lot in that spot. Ugh. But yeah, you know, they had like a wipe, whatever. I just wipe it off real quick after it.
Oh.
But you just put your face on, you lean it, and you look down and you see like the street. And just, I don't know, it was so cool. And they also have the glass overhang that suspends outside of it. So It's you look down and you could literally see thousands of feet below you.
Did you do it?
Yeah. Yeah, we did it.
People who are afraid of heights might not be able to do it.
It was, honestly, they have like a photo thing where you could take, and the guy who was working the spot just kind of like shoved us in there. He didn't really give me a chance to think about it at first.
Whoa.
Which is kind of the better way to do it. Because when I did get a second to look down, and I never thought I was afraid of heights or anything, but it's up there. My knees started to get a little weak when you look down and you see nothing but the city under you. But it was really cool. It was awesome.
I don't think Bob would do that. He's afraid of heights. In fact, Bob wants to go up to the crown of the Statue of Liberty, which is what I did. While you were at the Willis Tower, I was atop the Statue of Liberty in the crown. And then I went up to the Freedom Tower, the top of the Freedom Tower. So I was 100 floors up at the Freedom Tower while you were at the Willis Tower. How far up were you?
It's a little bit less than the Freedom Tower. I think it's like 1600 feet, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Freedom Tower 1776 feet.
Well, that's with the spire though.
Yeah. Something 15, something like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. We'll have to, maybe you should check it out, the observatory for the Willis Tower, just to find out. But it's funny because we were both dealing with heights while we were having adventures on our Saturday. Me for the crown, and the Freedom Tower, you at the Willis Tower.
Willis Tower sky deck is 1,353 feet.
Awesome. Did you get some pictures?
Oh, I got a ton of pictures.
I haven't seen any of those pictures yet. You've seen my pictures. I've not seen your pictures.
I have.
But I did see your photo from Wrigley Field. Did they sing Go Cubs Go?
They did sing Go Cubs Go. So the Red Sox took 2 out of 3 in the weekend. But I was at the one game where the Cubs did win. Cody Bellinger Grand Slam. It was pretty cool.
Where did you sit?
The second deck, first row, right behind third base, which was apparently the Cubs dugout, which I never knew that. Because most teams in baseball have the home dugout on the first base side. And I did a little research into it. Apparently that goes back to when they built the stadium and the sun would set in the right fields or the left field. So the Cubs didn't want to be in the sun in their dugout. They wanted to shove the visitor in the sun. So that's why they do it on that side.
Isn't the ivy cool?
It is so cool to see. It's amazing. I mean, the old stadium like that, like when we went to Fenway last year and seeing Wrigley, that's just like baseball to me. And it just reminds me of like growing up in like Shea Stadium around here where I grew up in New York and old stadiums. I just miss just going to a stadium and it being about the baseball game and not like, what can I do in center field? How much food can I eat? Like, I just want to watch the game and enjoy the stadium. Like,
I miss stadiums that have different character to them. The feel of the history of baseball that's preserved in those stadiums, as opposed to a lot of the newer ones, a little more cookie cutter with the roofs, all that kind of stuff. Now, I think baseball is better when you're talking about a stadium that has seen so much over the years. And in the cases of those two stadiums, over 100 years old.
Yeah, absolutely. It's I feel like when they're building stadiums nowadays or adding to stadiums, it's all about how much can we make that's not about the game of baseball. Like, what bar can we put in right field? What club can we put behind the play where people aren't watching the game? And those stadiums are just about watching the game and everyone being into the game. And the stadium, just the atmosphere around it and the history, you feel it. It's awesome.
Good. So glad to hear it. Glad you had fun. Willis Tower, Wrigley Field. Did you eat something that was tasty?
We did. We went to this delicious Italian restaurant a little north of the city called...
Nothing says Chicago like Italian food.
Ricardo's. It was delicious. I would go back there. If I lived in Chicago, I would take people there who were coming to visit. The place was so good.
Mm. Well, we're glad you're back. We survived. I mean, barely, you know. The show can barely run without you, Adam. I mean, I don't even know how I managed to keep going, but we did somehow. And so I hope that you are rejuvenated and refreshed and ready to go now inside of 50 days until the NFL season kicks off. I still have 2 more trips between now and then, actually.
2 trips.
Oh, yes. 2 more trips to Houston. Oh, but I got to go see mom because she's getting better from her foot surgery. She's now allowed to swim. So she's been in the pool a bunch, which is nice. And also Bob. Well, yes, Bob. I can't say anything about how mom is more important because Bob will likely be listening to the show at some point. So, Bob, you're the most important reason that I'm going to... Well, you're the only reason I'm going to Houston in July. That's accurate. On Twitter, A-Law Radio, and then our Facebook page, who are the 4 athletes that belong on the Mount Rushmore of sports right now? July 2023, we've got the Open Championship up on USA Network in studio. The Women's World Cup is underway down under, and so we'd love to hear from you, whether it's soccer or golf, baseball, football, global football, or football de Americano, whatever it is. Who are the athletes that you would put on your Mount Rushmore of sports right now as we stand in July of 23? It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Fourth and 2 at the 27. Jones in a shotgun set. Barkley to his right. Jones calls out signals, takes the snap, hand off Barkley, runs up the middle, he's got a first down, Barkley's still in the seat, to the 10 to the 5, touchdown Saquon Barkley, with 2:01 to go.
Wanted to be a Giant for his entire career.
Being a baseball play-by-play broadcaster demands a blend of learned mechanics, intense preparation, and a calm sense of entertainment. How hard is it to do this job? Let's talk to the ones who do it. This is Matt Spiegel. My new podcast, The PBP, Voices of Baseball, will bring those conversations to you as the best working and former broadcasters tell you why and how they do it. New episodes come every Thursday all summer long. Follow The PBP, Voices of Baseball, on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
As possible, we'd love to have him. He again provides leadership. He's a great player. We'd like to get something done with him at some point. The running market, running back market is what it is.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Well, that's ironic. The last thing you hear from John Mara, the owner of the Giants, is the same thing Saquon Barkley tweeted when he did not get a long-term deal done with the team before the deadline. It is what it is. Barkley tweeted it. John Mara said that they would love to have Barkley on a long-term deal, but the running back market, it is what it is. When was that John Mara comment? Bob Papa on Giants Radio. We know that Saquon Barkley posted huge numbers last year, and I've said this before, I will say it again. If not for Saquon Barkley and his, 1,400-plus yards last season, Daniel Jones doesn't have the contract that he has right now. Barkley with 1,300 rushing yards alone for a career high. That was fourth in the NFL, which just underscores how critical running backs were last season. There was more emphasis on running backs last year. More emphasis on running backs and running the ball and ball control than even on the passing in many cases for a lot of teams. Barkley had 10 touchdowns and then also had 57 catches, which tied for the team lead. That speaks volume about the Giants as well. This was a playoff team, a wild card team that had a victory in the postseason, right? So this is a team that not only rewarded its quarterback with a long-term deal, a free agent deal, a lot of money, and then franchise tagged Barkley so that he will make $10.1 million this year. They recognize that their number two overall draft pick going back to the 18 season is important to their success. However, they balk at paying him what he wanted. All right, so the Giants, according to the multiple reports that are out there, the Giants did make different offers to Barkley and to his camp. And at one point, the offer on the table with incentives would have been up to $14 million per season. But Barkley and his camp wanted what a lot of players want, which is guaranteed money. And again, according to the reports, what the Giants offered in guaranteed money never got close to what Barkley's agents were seeking. And so they used the franchise tag on him, and they did not come up with a deal before the deadline. Now, there have been different sources who would tell you that Barkley plans to hold out, but maybe we should hear from Barkley himself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Barkley was a guest on the Money Matters podcast. Now, to my understanding, this was recorded before they missed the deadline. So this is not post the deadline passing and them being unable to come up with a deal, though they were still locked in a stalemate when he recorded the Money Matters podcast. And he was talking about potentially sitting out the season if a deal couldn't be reached.
That's a play I can use. Anybody knows me, knows that's not something I want to do. But like, has it something that crossed my mind? It's like I never thought I would ever do that. But like, now I'm in a point where it's like I might have to take it to this level.
He follows that up with a rhetorical question: am I prepared to take it to this level? I don't know. But this is leverage, potentially, that he feels like he can use against the Giants. Now, he hasn't signed his franchise tender. And so because of that, and I appreciate, we had a listener a couple of nights ago remind us of this. Since he hasn't signed his franchise tender, he's not under contract, which means he cannot be fined for missing training camp. In fact, he actually can't be in training camp until he signs the contract because of insurance purposes and all that jazz. The Giants won't allow him to work out, to practice, to be part of anything that they're doing until he signs. He can't report to camp until he signs. But because he hasn't signed, he also can't be fined for missing camp, which is only fair. Giants veterans are supposed to be there Tuesday. He will lose money if he misses games and has to forfeit game checks. But again, that's something that he is considering. So is there any way that he can control this, take some of the control back from the team?
My leverage is, I can say you to the Giants. I can say to my teammates and be like, you want me to show you my worth? You want to show you how much, how valuable I am to the team? I won't show up. Right. I won't play it down.
In case you missed that, my leverage is I could say bleep you to the Giants. I could say bleep you to my teammates and be like, you want me to show you my worth? You want me to show you how valuable I am to the team? I won't show up. I won't play it down. And that's a play I could use. Interestingly, that he not only includes the team in that, but his teammates. And that, I think, is the part of it that is tough for a lot of these guys. They have to balance business and brotherhood, right? They have to balance needing to, or in their opinions, needing to hold out or needing to play hardball for a contract that gives them the guaranteed money or pays them what they believe they're worth. And is he worth more than $10 million to that Giants offense and to Daniel Jones? Absolutely. We've talked about this. When it comes to running backs, there are so many that are talented. Teams are often willing to cut corners and cut expenses on running backs, not always, but often, because they believe they can plug another running back in there and get, if not the same production, then enough that they can justify saving the money. And once running backs like Barkley or Dalvin Cook, or really even Christian McCaffrey, now he's been paid a second free agent deal, as has Derrick Henry, but both those guys have missed time recently. When it comes to Barkley, he was healthy this past season, but he certainly missed a lot of time himself. 60 career games over 5 seasons. All right, so if you average that out, you're talking about 12 games a season. That's not a full season. He was the offensive rookie of the year in 2018. That was when he was the number 2 overall pick, but has missed a bunch of games for various injuries since then. And that's what happens with running backs. They take more pounding than any other offensive player who's out there. There's a lot of mileage, a lot of hits on those bodies. Now, 2018 is also the last time a player sat out a full season. That was Le'Veon Bell. And what did he just come out and say this week? I shouldn't have held out. I shouldn't have left. I shouldn't have handled it the way that I did. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to the fans. I'm sorry. I messed up. So the Giants have an offer on the table. It's too late for that, though, because the deadline is passed. Barkley either plays for the $10.1 million, which is nothing to sneeze at, and it is guaranteed money. That's the thing. It's that money is guaranteed. Once you sign it, you don't have to meet incentives. You don't have to score enough touchdowns. You don't even have to play the majority of the season. Once that money, well, once that contract kicks in and that franchise tender is signed, you make all of that money. It's just that it's not long-term. It's for this season. And this is why it's scary to a lot of players, because if they don't sign a long-term deal with extra guaranteed money and they get hurt, that could be the end of it. And there's not, let's be fair, there's not a ton of job security in the NFL anyway. There's not a ton of job security in football where teams can cut a player with no warning. What they have is the guaranteed money, which is why many of them, insist on it or why that's how they gauge the offer from their various teams. How much guaranteed money? And so there's no long-term aspect to this contract, but it is $10 million guaranteed this season. I hope he signs it. He had a great year last year. The issue, though, is that, I mean, he's 26 years old, so he's in the prime of his career. The issue is they can franchise him again in 2024. So if he would play in 23 and they still feel like they can't come to an agreement or they need more time to come to an agreement, they don't want him to walk or become a free agent, they can tag him again. That's where players start to feel insulted. And then here's the other question, and it's rhetorical. I don't know the answer. Is he any more likely to get a contract offer that's attractive to him after another year of mileage on his body? And there's no way of knowing that. Maybe the Giants get another 1,300-yard season out of him, and they think, okay, we'll give him an offer that's closer to what he wants. But ultimately, he's another year older with another year of hits over the course of 16, 17 games. I'm not saying this is the best offer he'll ever get because I have no way of knowing that. But with another year on the field, with another year of pounding and mileage, it's not likely that a team is, whether it's the Giants or another team, is going to give him the contract that he wants. Plus, he'd be another year older. So I wish he would sign it. Take the $10 million. Take it. It's yours. And then deal with next year, next year. I understand why he doesn't. I understand why now Tony Pollard is considering maybe sitting out, although that's unlikely. But Josh Jacobs with the Raiders, Dalvin Cook still has an offer on the table from the Vikings, just hasn't accepted it. The report is $7 million a year average with incentives built in. I wish Barkley had taken the deal and could meet these incentives. And at $14 million is a lot of extra cash. So we'll see what happens moving forward. But it definitely has been a large shadow cast. The number of running backs who are disgruntled and frustrated and angry, even as training camps get underway. We've got a QB news coming up next, as it were. It's shorter, but it won't be that way for long. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Murray back to throw. And it is. Is it tossed? Oh, my goodness, it's tossed. DeAndre Hopkins caught it.
Dapper from under center. Steps back. Throws the fade.
Cooper Kupp's got it. Touchdown, LA.
Burrow back to throw. Looking. Firing deep for Chase in the end zone. Oh, he's got it.
Mahomes fires for the end zone, caught, touchdown, Kansas City.
And off to Eckler again, no, Herbert keeps it, end zone, touchdown, Chargers. Herbert with his second of the day.
Here's the snap, Josh going to keep it himself and run it again inside the five, into the end zone, touchdown, Buffalo. Josh Allen, 9-yard touchdown run. The Bills respond and then some.
It's time for QB News on After Hours.
We've got multiple training camps beginning with their rookies today through the rest of the week. Of course, they've already got roughly half the NFL with their rookies reported. Some veterans, too, like Patrick Mahomes. Is he on your Mount Rushmore of sports in mid-July 2023? He's on mine. We'll get to that coming up here after hours on CBS Sports Radio. Let's squeeze in some QB news just for fun. You know, in Green Bay, there's a major question mark at quarterback, except that's really the outside noise. Internally, all the Packers, to a man, are speaking praises. They're singing praises. They're speaking nothing but sweets about one Jordan Love Bums. Because they love him. A.J. Dillon's the latest to tout his new QB.
People trust him. People listen when he enters the huddle. It's not like some new guy that just popped up who's calling the shots. He's been here for about to be, going into his fourth year. So I think he definitely has all the intangibles. You know, he's he's earned the trust of the locker room. Guys respect him. Guys want to play for him. Guys want to, you know, help him as much as they want to help themselves. And so I think it's, you know, it's obviously nothing's perfect in football. Everybody knows that. But, you know, I think he's got a lot of support. And, you know, everybody would run through a wall for him.
That's what we hear about Jordan Love. I'm serious. I cannot wait to see how it goes in the wake of Aaron Rodgers' trade to the New York Jets. Of course, that impacts a lot of people, too, including Garrett Wilson, who did have a pre-existing friendship with Aaron and is now behind him on the Jets' depth chart.
When, you know, you have a new signal caller coming in and a new quarterback, you just want to be able to get those reps and bookmark some certain routes together, and we got a chance to do that. You know, it was awesome to be able to go with him and go against the defense with him, you know, leading the charge and see how he sees the defense and spend time with him in the film room, all those things. And you know, a culmination of all of it leads to, you know, hopefully our success down the road. And, yeah, man, you know, we're going to try and keep building upon that. You know, we have a really small sample size together, but, you know, we feel like we took full advantage of the time we did have together. And, you know, that's all we could do.
Zach Wilson, Garrett Wilson, it's not football season yet, so you know. They're not interchangeable parts, though. Zach Wilson with a pre-existing friendship behind Aaron on the depth chart. Garrett Wilson will actually be catching the passes from him. And as you hear him on SiriusXM NFL Radio, same place we heard A.J. Dillon, small sample size, but you got to like what you see so far. And Aaron was around for OTAs, which is not something he's done in more recent years with the Packers. I wonder, will he play in preseason games? That's something that we have to look forward to. My apologies, Garrett. I am excited about the connection between Aaron and Garrett.
People are coming here to play with me.
Yeah. I don't know if the Jets are the second best team in the AFC East, the third best team in the AFC East. I'm actually not confident in any of that until I see what they look like on the field. I do know there's a lot of excitement around Tua Tagovailoa getting back on the field with the Dolphins after taking not just the end of last season, but the offseason to recover fully from the concussions. Of course, question marks there too. Can he be out there on the field for all 17 games? Former NFL QB Rich Gannon on the 33rd team. Yeah, looking at Tua's health.
He has to be able to avoid the unnecessary hits. And I tell young quarterbacks this all the time. There's three areas of your body that you have to protect: your head, your shoulders, and your knees. And unfortunately, he's taken way too many hits to the head. He's got to do a much better job seeing, getting out of bounds, throwing the football away, and again, avoiding the unnecessary hits. Can he stay healthy? Can he play all 17 games this year for the Miami Dolphins? When he has been healthy and when he's been on the field, he has been extremely productive. And I just think he has to understand that his best ability is going to be his availability.
Oh, I like that. Rich Gannon on the 33rd team. I asked that same question. Of course, Tyreek Hill wants 2,000 yards, but he probably won't do that without Tua on the field. Staying in the AFC and staying with the 33rd team, new Indianapolis Colts head coach Shane Steichen has to develop his young quarterback, Anthony Richardson.
The biggest thing is for, you know, young quarterbacks is don't clutter their mind with so much information overload. You know, let them process fast. Let them play fast. I think when you can have a young quarterback play fast and not think about too many different things, I think that will help their completion percentage along with giving them the easy completions, you know. I think that's the biggest thing. And does it take time to develop that? Yeah, absolutely. You know, the game's ever-changing. And, you know, NFL is obviously a fast-paced game for any young quarterback, but when you come in, I think the biggest thing is just understanding what we're trying to do with the concept, what we're trying to accomplish on every single play, and then that way their talents can take over and they can play fast.
Former Eagles offensive coordinator, now Colts head coach. He's got some experience after working with Jalen Hurts. Now, Kenny Pickett is a year in for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and he's got a new receiver alongside in Allen Robinson.
For a rookie, for a lot of young players, you know, especially at that position, stepping into the NFL, what you want to see is you want to see guys continue to ascend throughout the course of the rookie year. You know, that's being able to learn game to game and different things like that. For me, coming in, seeing Kenny now, going into his second season, man, I mean, the command that he has for a second year player is awesome. You know, I personally feel like you don't get a chance to see guys that young with a command that strong, you know, as far as, you know, leading us, getting guys together, throwing after, watching film, you know, across the board. You know, he's very experienced, and it's been fun to see, you know, and it's been fun to be a part of.
This will be his third team in three seasons. Allen Robinson went from Chicago to the Rams, where everybody had a rough season, now to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Jay and I were just saying, we kind of forgot he was with the Pittsburgh Steelers. We got to get ready for football. SiriusXM NFL Radio. Rashad White, he's looking at that quarterback competition in Tampa, where Hello. It's Baker Mayfield and it's Kyle Trask.
Great competition. At the end of the day, what I like about them both is, though, like, they both help each other out. They're not too good for each other, like, with the competition, just, you know, tell them what they've seen and this like that, and they both take it of what they've seen and what they would have did or things like that. So it's a great competition, and they both really good, great competitors, honestly. And they, I mean, they both just, of course, different personalities, but they both go out there, they have fun, they compete, and you know, they let it all, you know, hang loose. So it'd be good to see, you know, who comes out and win it.
Baker Mayfield definitely does let it all hang loose. Interesting. I honestly, I can't even fathom Kyle Trask beating out Baker Mayfield for the Tampa Bay starting job, but could you imagine if it happens? The Bucs are really starting from scratch. They definitely are. All right, a little bit more coming up next hour. I wouldn't call it QB news, but wait until you hear who Justin Fields ranks as his top five rushing quarterbacks of all time. I wonder if he would also put himself on Mount Rushmore. In mid-July 2023, who are the four athletes, male or female, who belong on your Mount Rushmore of sports? We'll start to get to some of your answers. We've got a brand new leader in the American League East. That's coming up. The U.S. women are not underway yet, but the Women's World Cup is down under. So is the Open Championship. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.